So, Anya, you went to Norcote, Louisiana, and just a little background, it's slightly upriver from New Orleans, and it's the site of a big chemical cracker owned by Shell. Now, Norco is where there was a big chemical explosion that happened in 1988, and 7 employees died in that explosion. In Norco, you met a family named the Dixons. Can you just tell us about them?
Barbara and Randy Dixon were sitting on their porch one night when we rolled in, and they were in their rocking chairs, and their porch is about 400 feet from the fence line of the Shell cracker. So from their porch, you could see flaring, if it is flaring, and if there is none, you could just basically see kind of lit up steam coming from the plants. It's an interesting view. Barbara grew up in Norco. Her father grew up in Norco. Her grandfather grew up in Norco. Her grandfather and her father worked at Shell. Her brothers worked at Shell. She worked at Valero, which is a refinery about 2 miles away. So the family has very, very deep chemical roots. And Randy is from New Orleans, and he decided that he was going to move to Norco with Barbara. And the week that they were supposed to be moving into this house, the catalytic cracker blew up.
That's the big explosion from 1988.
Yes, that's right. It was a huge explosion. It broke a lot of windows. It did a lot of structural damage in the town, but nobody in the town died. And I asked Barbara and Randy what they were thinking at that time. Did they have second thoughts? Were they thinking, how possibly can we move into this place? They said absolutely not. They never thought twice about it. They came, they assessed the damage, they cleaned up the glass, and they said accidents happen, basically.
So they just chalked it up to that's just the way it is around here, and we're okay with it.
They did. And they said that Shell really went out of their way to make things right, to make them whole. They said they took care of people in that area after that accident. And what was interesting to me is that they didn't appear to live in fear from then on of something like that happening, even though they do admit that sometimes their windows rattle and their house shakes a little bit when there is flaring or if there's some kind of unit upset. So there are events like that, but they don't live in fear of them. They just accept it.
You also went to a place called Geismar, which isn't far from Norco. It's kind of like the next county up. And Shell is building a big expansion on its chemical plant there. Were people in that part of Louisiana, were they happy about this expansion?
Yes, the people I talked to were very happy. It was this is a, more than $700 million project. So imagine something like that on a standalone basis. That would be a huge deal anywhere. There were a bunch of pickup trucks in driveways, in hotel parking lots, in restaurant parking lots. The town was kind of hopping along with this activity.
Now, this part of Louisiana is known by the chemical industry as the Chemical Corridor, but other people call it something else, Cancer Alley, because of all the chemicals and pollution from these plants. What did you find out about what these plants are emitting, and how do people that live close to these plants, how do they feel about this possibility?
The people that I talked to, for the most part, said they were comfortable with the safeguards in place. And specifically, they talked about how the Environmental Protection Agency takes care of them. Many people talked about how there are many monitors, air monitors, all over the place, and how that information is publicly available. I started looking at what studies are available to look at cancer rates, for example. And that's just, a small subset of how you can measure danger, because cancer is just one thing that could potentially happen. But that data was very elusive, and partly it's because when studies are done, in order to be published in peer-reviewed journals, they have to have a sample size that's statistically significant. And in order to do that, you can't really just look at people who live right on the fence line. You need a bigger sample. And when you take a bigger sample, that has the potential of diluting whatever impacts you have from living right on the fence line. So people have explained to me that that's maybe part of the reason why you don't see a lot of those studies. And then I've seen other efforts that attempted to do health assessments, but really were more health communication strategies. So even the Louisiana Chemical Association did a campaign some years ago to educate people about the facts about cancer. And their emphasis was on telling people that their cancer risks are much higher than across the nation. And also, by the way, they smoke a lot more and they eat unhealthy food more and they don't get as much exercise. And so they were sort of making a connection with these factors that you can control and not emphasizing factors that you can't.
What are some advice or lessons that, you know, you would sort of be able to bring back and just give to people here in the Pittsburgh area, Beaver County, who are, you know, curious about what this plant will mean for them?
So a lot of people that I talked to said it's very helpful to get involved with somebody at the plant. Having a line to the plant is very crucial for, first of all, having a comfort level with what goes on there, being able to trust the company when they say, you know, what you smelled or what you saw isn't catastrophic, or trusting them when they explain what happened. I think one of the things in Louisiana, there are a couple of environmental groups and community action groups that keep track of the safety of plants and what goes on at the plants. And people in industry may argue with them, but the fact is it's an extra set of eyes keeping an eye on things that most citizens probably don't have time to do. So to the extent that people in Beaver County might be wondering about a particular aspect of a plant, let's say emissions or permit violations or water quality, it might be helpful for them to identify the groups locally that will be paying attention to that and keep in touch.
Well, Anya Litvak, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Anya Litvak covers energy for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. You can find her on Twitter at Anya Litvak, LITVAK. You're listening to the Allegheny Front.